grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. And I take this day on the words of our Lord Jesus, who said, "Go your way, your Son lives." In Jesus' name, hear me. In the Old Testament reading that you heard today, you heard of the power and that word of God, the word that says, "Let there be and there was." Imagine such power. In the past several weeks in this country, you have heard politicians claim such power, making promises left and right so as to ascertain your vote. And if you believe all that they say, I really feel for your pain, as they say. When we consider the power of the Word of God, we must understand that the nobleman in today's gospel is much like you. He's not so sure Jesus can do what he wants, or even will do what he wants. The man may have his doubts. He may not see Jesus as the only cure, but as the last hope. Someone who might come through because everything else has failed, and this is an emergency, after all. So the man doesn't say to Jesus, "Don't trouble yourself, I'm not worthy." Instead, he begs and implores and pleads with Jesus to come down and heal his son. Jesus answers that request. He answers that request with, "It is so." He answers that request as the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us here on this earth. Now in the Gospel of St. John clearly reveals that this is Jesus. He says to us, "That Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So when your Lord speaks as he did in creation, or as he did to this nobleman, he does not speak in vain. He does not speak merely to hear himself say what will give him a vote or a pleasant smile, but because he doesn't know what else to say or to do. He does not ramble on, hoping that if he speaks long enough and loud enough, somebody will believe something he says. He doesn't look to find the right words. He doesn't say because he doesn't know what else to say, or because he hopes that he says will somehow bring comfort and consolation. Sometimes we find ourselves in those positions too. We find ourselves endeavoring to extend comfort to one who has lost a loved one, and our tongues are mute and speechless. We don't always have the right word for the right time, the right situation. But your Lord Jesus does. That is the true power of the Lord's word. Not just a word that can make something change or do something better, but with one word, your Lord does what you can never do. Rather, he speaks the right word at the right time, in the right place, for the right occasion. And what he says is precisely what you need to hear and what he wants to say. It is never too harsh, never too gentle, never too demanding, never too lax, never too hard, and certainly never too soft, never overstated or understated, never missed time or poorly chosen. In last Sunday's Bible class, we had a brief discussion about distinguishing law and gospel and how it's the pastor's job to do that and then apply it to people. And we marveled at how difficult the task that truly is. That is because the pastor cannot look into the heart and know exactly which word of God is needed. But God knows. And yet, the hearers often resist, oppose, defy, debate with, and work around that word of God. Honestly, beginning at times that what he says is no different and no better than what you might. you therefore have no defense. When your minds and your hearts trouble you, there is nothing to assuage that can calm your fears, for there is nothing in you that can truly resist the penetrating accusations of the diabolical one. Nothing that can truly shield you from your self-doubts or self-loathing, and nothing that can truly overcome the crosses, the prejudices, the darkness, the temptations you bear. Nothing except the truth. That is, nothing except the righteousness of the gospel of peace that your Lord speaks and that your Lord plants into you by his Spirit-delivered word splashed upon you in the waters of baptism, preached into your ears and placed in your mouth. This was the way of the man in the gospel. So your Lord applies strong medicine that rebukes and clears away the weeds of doubt and scatters the darkness of fear. He says, you people are constantly relying on signs and wonders. You are being so dependent on what your eyes see rather than what your ears have been given. You've got some faith, but you really don't believe until you can say, I've seen it with my own eyes. And of course, we all know that one very famous apostle suffered from that same dilemma. So what makes you think you don't? Now, what are you going to do with this Jesus who says, look, put your faith in me? Will you give up on him? Will you stop believing his promises because he didn't do what you thought he ought to do, or in the way that you demanded he should do it, or give the sign you were looking for? Dear friends, you are called to place your trust in that sure and certain strong word of God. This true and steady reliance on the Lord's word is what the nobleman ultimately exemplifies in the gospel for today. With wings like eagles, he runs to the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he hopes that the Lord will heal his son. And does the Lord Jesus disappoint him or destroy his hope? Does the Lord turn him away and says, you didn't do it strongly enough? Not once, I can't do it this time. No, the Lord Jesus does not dash hopes that are feeble, that do not come from a strong faith. The Lord Jesus invites you to focus what little faith you have on his word and his promise. In fact, what your Lord Jesus does is turn the nobleman's hope into certain confidence. The nobleman comes to the Lord hoping that he might heal his son. He returns home increasingly confident that his son is healed, all because of the word of Jesus. The man comes to Jesus hoping to hear an encouraging word. He returns home believing that his son lives. He leaves his house desperate, frantic, anxious. He arrives home calm, soothed, and worry-free. Does that sound like your life? Does that sound like the life of the people in this nation? Does that sound like the life of the people in this place? This man believed the word of Jesus. it made you from a child of God. It is the word that strengthens your feeble knees and fearful hearts. As that word breathes, the Lord's life back into you. And here at the altar in the Holy Supper, that is where you seek ultimately the Lord's word. For here he speaks it most clearly, most perfectly, most surely, most truly, given and shed for you. This then becomes your prayer. You are grateful, Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. The Lord's unspeakable word of promise and hope, coupled with his own body and blood, dwelling in you, in your flesh, it is the gift that alone helps in the terrors of